see like the one or two really important things that I need to do. And then they just kind of turn into the focal points for like that season of my life. So if, you know, the business has a certain challenge, then I kind of become like maniacally obsessed with the thing. And like, I'm just really, 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 really looking for making that thing happen. And I just don't stop doing that. And then that'll lead me to do different things. So it's not like I'm like, oh, I need to optimize for some structure. It's more so like I need to do whatever the fuck I need to do to get whatever I need to get done. And then, you know, whatever that leads me to from like a structure standpoint or a habit standpoint in that period of time is what that leads me.
Welcome to the Good Seed Podcast. I'm Allie.
And I'm Rachel.
Hey guys, welcome back to another podcast. Today we're super excited. We have with us Luke Kish. We're going to get into his, basically his whole lifelong like entrepreneurial sort of, what would you say? It's a good word to describe this.
An entrepreneurial empire that he has built.
That's a great word. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So he's a lifelong entrepreneur with an insatiable appetite for growth. He has built and led massive sales organizations and is currently leading and the CEO of Warrior Babe, one of the biggest online fitness coaching companies in the world. So I'm super excited. Welcome, Luke. Thank you so much for taking the time. We know you're super busy, so we really, really appreciate you here today. How's it going?
Hey. Good. How are you?
We're great.
Great.
Awesome.
You're awesome.
So let's get this going. I think a great start off would be like your upbringings. When did you start? How old are you today? And when was the first time you started, let's say, just your first company, and kind of walk us through that?
Yeah, so I am 32 right now. I've actually never had a job, so I've never worked for somebody else. Oh, wow. When I was in middle school, I started like a landscaping company and just did like lawns in the neighborhood. And that was enough money in the 3 months to kind of sustain me for the whole year. And then, you know, found just like little hustles through high school, and then went to college at San Diego State. And that was like a big party school. So there was always like live music events, and I would buy and resell tickets for them because students got them first and they would typically sell out. And then I got into sales when I was at the end of freshman year and did really, really well with it. Ended up building like a 65,000 person sales team, and we were doing like a couple million dollars a month in sales volume.
Wait,
I was making, you know, more money than, like, it was quite a big jump from landscaping and, you know, reselling event tickets to friends to, you know, being 19 or 20 years old and making 30,000-40,000 bucks a month. And I kind of got a little ahead of myself. Mm-hmm. I was just like partying and thought I was like, you know, the bee's knees and just like spending very lavishly. Mm-hmm. And then that company had trouble. And I had like a bit of an identity crisis because I really tied myself into like that company. Yeah. And then basically just went on like a soul searching journey at like 22 years old. My parents were living in Singapore at the time. Mm-hmm. I stayed in San Diego for 5 years after leaving college, dropping out of college, and then just traveled. So, you know, they were in Singapore. I spent 6 months there, spent some time in Bali, spent some time in Thailand, and just was living off savings. And really, to be honest, I was just kind of lost. Like, I didn't know what I was going to do, who I was. And then that was like a very substantial period for me as far as like growth goes. I really inspected like who I was and what I believed and what I thought was true and what were my beliefs versus ones that like were given to me that I thought were my beliefs. So I kind of just tore myself apart in that period.
Yeah.
Lots of reading, lots of like personal development, journaling stuff. And then the savings basically dwindled out, and I had like a really expensive car for being broke at the time.
Yeah.
And I was like, I got to get my ass moving. Right. It's time to like stop being on like a spiritual journey. So I had 7,000 bucks in the bank, and I signed a lease for a $2,500 a month apartment, and I had a $1,400 a month car payment. And then that next month I made like $100,000 selling stuff online. And then I did different like e-commerce stuff. This was in like 2016, 2017, when e-commerce was sort of easy.
Okay.
And had a couple, you know, big months, $500,000 months, stuff like that in revenue, which was a new thing for me because I was used to being paid all income. Anyway, still was pretty much scraping by because I kind of never stopped spending the way I liked to spend. Mm-hmm. And was like, okay, I need to find something more long term. That's when I ran into Nikki at a gym. I saw a company called Lady Boss at the time that was doing like $1 million a month. And I was like, hey, I want to build something more sustainable. And I think I could build this business. Do you want to get more serious with it? And she said, yeah. And then, we built Warrior Babe. And, you know, now it's a relatively big business. We've been doing more than 8 figures a year for the last 4 years, coming up on the 5th year now. And everything's going good.
That's wow. Really impressive. I had no idea that you've never worked for anyone.
Yeah.
So you have no idea what being an employee is like. And that's badass.
Always been the boss. Always. That's boss badass. From day one.
What were you selling that you were making 100K a month in 2016?
Was he like
all kinds of stuff? I mean, it was like I would just set up these websites and Facebook ads where nobody was using them yet. So yeah. It really wasn't that I was skilled as much so as it was like good timing. And then like I understood sales and selling. So it was like I sold bottle openers at one point and did like $1 million in 2 months. But this is revenue, by the way. This isn't right. Profit. Mm-hmm. I did dog hats. I did like dog stuff, like kitchen supplies. I did like just fucking anything. All kinds of shit like that. And it was like just really unfulfilling, basically. I was just like finding stuff, having to continually do it. You know, it would work and then it would stop. And then I was like, all right, I want to do something more real.
Yeah. I think that when we, especially in sales, it's such an uncertain, I guess, industry, because if you don't grind, like there's no paycheck, right? So I think that when you're doing really, really well and you feel invincible and you're like, this is going to be my life forever. Mm-hmm. And then something happens and it's just like, you realize that that's not how this works. Would you say that the uncertainty of everything that you've done in the past in sales got you to now a place where you're building something and you want to work on the foundation of it, which is Warrior Babe? Like, what got you into the mindset of building a company and sticking to it?
Mm-hmm. Well, no, not really, to be honest. I think like there's always some sort of paranoia that like things could stop. But now I have endured that. So I'm not as naive. Hmm. I've gone from making a bunch of money to no money and then pretty much going broke. And I think like once that happens, you know, I'm naturally very ambitious, but I didn't have much like humility before that experience. But now that I have that experience, I kind of always feel somewhat like things could stop and that it relies on me to continue to make them go. And then it's just like thinking about how I can, you know, have the highest likelihood of having something that's going to continue to go and work. But as far as like sales goes, and like that's for sure like where my background is or like my core strength. I think that now once you have the skill set, you kind of always know you can make something work.
Yeah,
that's my
the confidence.
We were literally talking about this this morning.
Yeah,
which is I was telling Rachel, I think that me coming from not really knowing sales, like my mom, she's always been in sales since I was really like since I was a baby. She never talked to me about it. So I knew that she sold stuff, but I didn't really, I guess, understand what it meant. And my mom's a total badass. And she's still in sales and she has a company and it's all her. And she's very respected and very well known. But I think that when I started getting into it, which was actually like high ticket sales, the first thing that I walked into was Warrior Babe because I've never done this before. Mm-hmm. And when you build your confidence and you know that you have the skills to do it, mm-hmm. you're pretty much like, I'm gonna figure it out no matter what life throws at me because I know that I can because I have the track record to prove mm-hmm. it, right? So I think that sales, if you're good at it, you have to be really like, there's no other way around it. You're a confident person. being good in sales, you're a confident person.
Yeah.
Like, because you know it.
100%. So did you come like from an entrepreneurial family, or like what made you into this entrepreneur at age 13?
No, I did not. I knew from a very young, like my parents would have arguments around money. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't because we weren't like middle class or like upper middle class, I guess you could say. It was just like my dad's frame on money was very like, don't spend it. You know, he took a very he was really, really poor when he was young. He was like, like almost like skipping dinner poor when he was young. Mm-hmm. And that just kind of is stuck in him somewhat.
Right.
My parents are very secure now and they're like, you know, totally, totally in a good spot. But that's because of how he managed his finances, and he did it really, really responsibly and very, very like by the book. But I knew from a young age that I just wanted to make money. And I think that just, and be an entrepreneur. And I think that it was just like a fun thing for me. It was like the idea of building things is super fun. I like to have fun. You know, it gives me satisfaction to like think of something and then see it come to life. Mm-hmm. And that's just always been my natural inclination. And I think I'm just somewhat naturally like, I don't know, in my genes or something like that. I'm just like, I just tilt towards that direction. Like I've always been like the leader, I guess you could say. So in all my friend groups and, you know, social circles I've been in, it's typically I've always been the person who's like directed what we should do, even if it was like, where are we going tonight, you know what I mean? Or like, hey, what should we do on this trip or whatever it is. That just kind of has always been where I fit in things. So yes, it's just natural.
I love that answer, because I think it's a question I get asked a lot from like sales training or sales, like people that are in this space, and they're just like, you're so confident. Like, what book do you read? Like, what mindset thing do you do? And I'm like, I've always been like this. Dude. Yeah. Like, I don't have a great answer for this question, because I think that I can't tell you like when I noticed that I was a confident person. Like, I've just always thought that, you know, I'm the
not
shit.
Something intentional.
That's basically it, right? Been. Yeah. And like what everyone else thinks about me is like none of my business, which is another thing that comes into when you have actual confidence. But I love the answer, because some people think that there's this woo-woo thing that you have to do to like actually be a Tony Robbins or a like it, not really, not necessarily. Some people are just born into it. Like,
do you
I truly
feel like
believe that.
Do you feel like people learn to become an entrepreneur, or is it something that you're literally born with?
I think you can, but I think like you have to follow your true nature at the end of the day. So, you know, it's like if somebody can't like handle stress or responsibility or, you know, high intensity or stuff like that, then maybe they're just not better suited. You know, like some people would be super happy and content with, you know, certain things, and then certain other people are super happy and content in other things. So I think it's just, you know, self-awareness, like where are you and like what do you want to do at a deeper level than like what your mind thinks you should do, kind of thing.
Yeah. That's a great answer.
That is.
What about the habits? Like, we were really curious about asking you about, because we know you're big on this.
Yeah.
So mindset, habits, like if you stick to something daily, what is it? Like,
to perform at such a high level, to be able to manage the stress and the high intensity.
You have a lot going on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, to me, it's more so like I typically we'll just see like the one or two really important things that I need to do. And then they just kind of turn into the focal points for like that season of my life. So if, you know, the business has a certain challenge, then I kind of become like maniacally obsessed with the thing.
Yeah.
And like, I'm just really, 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 really looking for making that thing happen. And I just don't stop doing that. And then that'll lead me to do different things. So it's not like I'm like, oh, I need to optimize for some structure. It's more so like I need to do whatever the fuck I need to do to get whatever I need to get done. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, whatever that leads me to from like a structure standpoint or a habit standpoint in that period of time is what that leads me to. Like right now I'm trying to do something and it's like, it's very much so like, you know, I just need to do whatever I need to do with whatever, whatever the thing is at the time. So it's, and then obviously like, I'm just, yeah, all the obvious shit. So I'm very dialed in with like nutrition. I'm very dialed in with fitness. I'm very dialed in with like the shit that I let into my mind, but that's almost just no matter what at this point, it's not like something I have to think about. Sleep is good. I got a bunch of stuff that helps me, you know, feel good and healthy and high energy. But outside of that, it's like, what season are you in and what are you trying to accomplish? And then like make that the total focal point of your existence. And then everything orients itself into that direction. And then what I've found is you typically figure out how to get it if you just hold it there. So
what I'm hearing you say is like the basics are your foundation, like sleep, working out, nutrition, like that's automated for you at this point where now all of your energy is going into solving whatever problems in front of you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So do you feel like we did a podcast about this. Like I hear you just talking about your obsession and by kind of knowing you and following you on social media, I know how obsessed that you get. So do you feel like there's such thing as balance whenever you're looking to be successful?
No. No, I don't think so. Definitely not if you want to be really successful.
Right.
Like you can be like mediumly successful in balance, but I think anybody who's really great kind of has that same thing. Like, it's like, you know, if you have something important, you just got to get it done. Like, it's not like, oh, well, I got to go to bed at, you know, 8:30 tonight and, you know, wake up early so I can do something. It's like, well, you might have somebody who needs to talk to you at 10:30 and you just got to fucking talk to them at 10:30. And then you might have to skip the gym for a whole week because you got to just go ham into something because you just need to. And that's how I think of it. So I think like maybe overall there's a balance. Like if you zoom way out, it might look more balanced, but I think there's like seasons that you have to go fully into. So if you're in a season, you're in a season and you have to fully go into that season. And that could be like totally unbalanced and, you know,
it's getting it done. Yeah. I feel like I get very obsessed, like, and I thought before, I guess, walking into this world of like sales, that was a bad thing, but I'm now understanding the why behind it. Like, I feel like, and it might not be a great thing, but I get very tunnel vision and I just obsess over this thing until I figure it out. Like, if I can't figure it out, like, I mean, there's not a thing that I probably can't figure out because I'll work so hard that I'll figure it out, like eventually. Mm-hmm. And I'm aware that time, like there's gonna be a time lapse in that, but being obsessive over whatever thing you're trying to accomplish will get you to eventually accomplish the thing because you don't stop. So I think that the main thing that I've seen in the short time that I've been in this space, I guess, the top performers are always obsessed.
Mm-hmm.
The top performers, like you can never beat hunger.
Mm-hmm.
Like hunger beats skills. Hunger beats everything. Why? Because it'll get you there. So I think it's one thing that I see again and again come up with really high performing people and people that are well known like around the world. Mm-hmm. They just have this insatiable hunger.
Right.
Like when you're doing great, everyone else is really impressed with what you're doing except yourself. Right. So it's like, I think it's really one of the main characteristics that I see really high achieving and high performance have. Like they're not impressed with themselves. And I can like think that I'm great in all these things, but at the end of the day, I'm like, what could have I done better? Like my main competitor is always myself, right? So it's like, I really always want to outwork myself.
Mm-hmm.
And if that means like not sleeping, like again, this not having the balance of it, not sleeping. It happened to me like 2 weeks ago. Dude, I was in bed for literally 2 weeks. Like I died for 2 weeks and it hadn't happened to me in like ever. I don't know when, but I didn't stop. I went ham. Like I was like not sleeping. Kids were sick. So not sleeping because of them. I got sick and I was like screw it, I'm gonna keep working. So I was 105 fever taking calls in my bed with the fever of 105.
She's a nut.
For that like 5 days
straight. That might be more intense than me.
Yeah, so for like 5 days straight. And then I go to the hospital and then they feed my dilution because she was like, well, no, you can't like, you can't faint from having a 105 fever. Like my mom was like, you're gonna like faint and no one's gonna be in the house with you. I'm also diabetic. And like type one, I've been diabetic my whole life. And I go to the hospital and she feeds my dilution. She's like, oh no, you're good. You're probably gonna start like rambling about random stuff if you get to like 106, but like nothing, like you're not gonna die. And I was like, oh, okay, like no worries. So I went back home, did the same thing. And your body really does shut down when you push it to that point. But I know no other way to do this. Like, I think because of my hunger and obsessive, I guess, mentality towards that. So has that ever happened to you, like physically, just like a shutdown because of the amount of work you put in?
Yeah.
It happens for sure. to every over.
It happens to me a lot too.
Overachiever.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying absolutely. To get it under control.
Yeah.
Does it still happen to you, or was that like something that happened in the early days and you learned how to work around that?
More, I think, in the early, like it happened to me like a month ago.
Really?
To be honest. Yeah. I mean, it's like if there's a very high stress or high pressure situation, you just got to deal with it. So, you know, does it happen very often? No, I don't think so. Yeah. But sometimes it happens. And then that's just like, hey, your body's like, you need to just chill for a second. And then I'm going to make you chill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, and then you start all over again. Yeah, absolutely. If you had, and I know we're running here short on time, but I'll ask you the second to last question. If anyone out there right now that, let's say, is good in sales and they're doing decent enough and they've always wondered, like, I really have this drive in me, this fire in me to create something and build a company, and they have no idea where to start. From your knowledge today, what do you think is the one advice, I guess, you could give them so they can just start? Like, they can start doing something today to fulfill that fire that they have within them to build something.
I think everything is sales. So, you know, business is people, and then good business is good people moving in the same direction. And then that happens when somebody's basically got a vision for something and then is selling the vision, right? And then selling, you know, everybody on their job roles, and then selling, you know, the future that the person's going to have to them in their job role, in your vision. So it really is all sales. You know, it's like you're constantly selling people on ideas and concepts and ways to be and, you know, whatever it is. It's really, a lot of it is sales. So I'd say number one is realize it's really not much different whether you're trying to sell somebody on an idea or you're trying to sell somebody a product. Typically, you're making the same things happen. Number one. Number two, I would say, is there's much more to building a business than just sales. So there's a ton of other stuff. And so there you need to kind of know what you don't know, or try to know what you don't know. And that's where you got to bring other people in. There's lots of upsides to doing sales and lots of upsides to doing business. And there's lots of downsides to doing business and lots of downsides to doing sales. So, you know, so once again, it's another self-awareness thing, knowing that it's not really, really that much different because you're just selling. And then number two is knowing that although it's not different, there's way, 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 way more to it. And a lot of other skill sets that you either need to become familiar with, probably become familiar with either way, but then have a team around you that can handle a lot of stuff that's outside of just sales.
Hmm. I kind of have a follow-up question to that. So listening to your background, like, you've bounced around from a lot of different like industries and a lot of different products. Like, how important do you think like passion, or follow your passion, or do what you love, like, how important do you feel like that is to maybe choosing what business to start? Or is that something
I don't
to think about?
I think that I'm the best person. Like, my passion is business. So it's not as easy of a question for me to answer. Like, it's like, if, you know, my passion is business. So how I think of it is like, and then what Warren Buffett says is he's like, sell what other people want, right? Like not what you want, right? So it's like business 101 is like people need to want something. And if you're just trying to keep it within your passions and wants, I think you're pretty limited. Mm-hmm. But there definitely is a lot to it. Like you need to feel fulfilled by what you're doing. Mm-hmm. But I don't think necessarily you have to hit it on the first one. It's like so many people think they're just going to like start a business and then that one business is going to be the business. And the amount of times that happens is probably like less than like a thousandth of a percent. Yeah. Typically, you know, you see someone who's got something going on. It's like, it was their 10th or 15th one. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's like, you gotta eat and you gotta survive. You have to make money. Yeah. And you know, if that's not in your passion, I don't think that that's a bad thing, but then it also doesn't mean that you can't work yourself in that direction. So, mm-hmm. I think it's important to enjoy what you're doing and have like a sense of satisfaction and fulfillment out of what you're doing. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's 100% necessary from a business standpoint, especially if you like or are passionate about sales or business, then like, you know, then it's like, hey, you're passionate about sales or business, then like, you know, everything is a business, right? And everything has sales. So like, there's a lot you can be passionate about there. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's binary.
Hmm. Yeah. I think that's a great point. And whenever you look at a lot of like the most successful people, like they didn't just do one thing. And to your point, like they didn't just have one passion and then it just turned into some multi-million dollar business. Mm-hmm. Like you just gotta like, I guess, balance like opportunity and timing and logic with all of your interests and what can you see yourself doing in the long term. Longevity.
Yeah. And then working yourself in that direction, because I do think it's important that you enjoy what it is that you're doing, because it's hard to work really hard on something that you don't enjoy that what you're doing. So I do think it's important to find something that you enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Or you won't be as successful. You just won't.
You won't last.
Yes. Yeah.
You will burn out easily. Yeah, absolutely.
100%. 100%. Well, I know we're short on time. We could talk to you all day long. But last question we have for you. So if you could turn back the clock 10 years and plant one seed in yourself, what would that be?
If I could turn back the clock 10 years and plant one seed in myself,
that would make the biggest impact on your life today.
To be honest, I feel like I don't, I wouldn't change too much, to be honest. I don't know if that's a cop-out answer. I will say this. When I was very young, I have a very, very repeated, consistent memory from my dad, like very young, from like 4 years old to like probably till like I left. He used to always say, Luke, remember, you can do anything you put your mind to. Luke, you can do anything you put your mind to. Luke, you can do anything you put your mind to. Luke, you can do anything you put your mind to. So that seed was planted, and that was a really good seed. So I'm happy with that seed. And I think that, you know, how my life is happening is all for me. Even the bad stuff, you know, even the mistakes and the challenges and the things that, you know, you could say, oh, well, if I would have thought this, maybe I'd be further ahead, but it's like, I'm not, and this is where I am. So, you know, everything happens to me and, or for me, not for to you. Me, sorry.
Yeah.
I'm happy with that. But like, yeah, like I said, like that was a seed that got planted that I think was super, super, super impactful for me from my dad.
I love that.
My dad planted the same seed in me too.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It's a mindset thing when you have kids. We were talking about this earlier today. I was telling Rachel that I was teaching my four-year-old what a deal is. So I'm teaching him to negotiate with me. So I was like, you want a deal? And he's like, what's a deal, mommy? And this was like a couple of, like 2 months ago. And I was like, I give you something, you give me something back. That's a deal. And so now whenever he's like not behaving, he's like, mommy, can I get a deal? It's really cool because he's four and I'm trying to teach him, and I will teach both of them how to do sales, even if they don't like it. I think that sales goes such a long way. Like, it's just communication, psychology, you know? So Yeah, I think that's awesome. A seed that I'm going to start planting in them as well, because it gives you, if you start young, it goes a really, really freaking long way.
Yeah.
Thank for you sure. so much for thank your you. Time today. You want to take
you're it? Welcome.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. And thank you guys for listening. If you haven't already, please subscribe and follow along on social media at The Good Scene Media. See you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Be sure and hit that subscribe button and follow along with us on social media at The Good Seed Media. And stay tuned for all the updates and more information.